13. It was a display of children's books. There wasn't much room on the table, so there were only about a dozen of them. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, The Hobbit, Tom Sawyer, things like that. Jake had been attracted by a storybook obviously meant for very young children. On the bright green cover was an anthropomorphic locomotive puffing its way up a hill. Its cowcatcher, which was bright pink, wore a happy grin, and its headlight was a cheerful eye, which seemed to invite Jake Chambers to come inside and read all about it. Charlie the Choo-Choo, the title proclaimed, story and pictures by Beryl Evans. Jake's mind flashed back to his final essay, with the picture of the Amtrak train on the title page and the words Choo-Choo written over and over again inside. He grabbed the book and clutched it tightly as if it might fly away if he relaxed his grip. And as he looked down at the cover, Jake found that he did not trust the smile on Charlie the Choo-Choo's face. "You look happy, but I think that's just the mask you wear," he thought. "I don't think you're happy at all, and I don't think Charlie's your real name either." These were crazy thoughts to be having, undoubtedly crazy. But they did not feel crazy. They felt sane. They felt true. Standing next to the place where Charlie the Choo-Choo had been was a tattered paperback. The cover was quite badly torn and had been mended with scotch tape now yellow with age. The picture showed a puzzled-looking boy and girl with a forest of question marks over their heads. The title of this book was Riddledy-Dum, Brain Twisters and Puzzles for Everyone. No author was credited. Jake tucked Charlie the Choo-Choo under his arm and picked up the riddle book. He opened it at random and saw this. "When is a door not a door?" "When it's ajar," Jake muttered. He could feel sweat popping out on his forehead, his arms, all over his body. "When it's ajar." "Find something, son?" a mild voice inquired. Jake turned around and saw a fat guy in an open-throated white shirt standing at the end of the counter. His hands were stuffed in the pockets of his old gabardine slacks. A pair of half-glasses were pushed up on the bright dome of his bald head. "Yes," Jake said feverishly. "These two, are they for sale?" "Everything you see is for sale," the fat guy said. "The building itself would be for sale if I owned it. Alas, I only lease." He held out his hand for the books, and for a moment Jake balked. Then, reluctantly, he handed them over. Part of him expected the fat guy to flee with them. And if he did, if he gave the slightest indication of trying it, Jake meant to tackle him, rip the books out of his hands, and boogie. He needed those books. "Okay, let's see what you got," the fat man said. "By the way, I'm Tower, Calvin Tower." He stuck out his hand. Jake's eyes widened, and he took an involuntary step backward. "What?" The fat guy looked at him with some interest. "Calvin Tower, which word is profanity in your language, O Hyperborean wanderer?" "Huh?" "I just mean you look like someone goosed you, kid."
"Oh, sorry."
He clasped Mr. Tower's large, soft hand, hoping the man wouldn't pursue it. The name had given him a jump, but he didn't know why.
"I'm Jake Chambers."
Calvin Tower shook his hand. "Good handle, pard. Sounds like the footloose hero in a Western novel. The guy who blows into Black Fork, Arizona, cleans up the town and then travels on. Something by Wayne D. Overholser, maybe. Except you don't look footloose, Jake. You look like you decided the day was a little too nice to spend in school."
"Oh, no, we finished up last Friday."
Tower grinned. "Uh-huh, I bet. And you've got to have these two items, huh? It's sort of funny what people have to have. Now you. I would have pegged you as a Robert Howard kind of kid from the jump, looking for a good deal on one of those nice old Donald M. Grant editions, the ones with the Roy Krenkel paintings. Dripping swords, mighty thews, and Conan the Barbarian hacking his way through the Stygian hordes."
"That sounds pretty good, actually. These are for my little brother. It's his birthday next week."
Calvin Tower used his thumb to flip his glasses down onto his nose and had a closer look at Jake.
"Really? You look like an only child to me.
An only child, if I ever saw one, enjoying a day of French leave as Mistress May trembles in her green gown just outside the bosky dell of June.